Now we want to discuss a little more this morning from the ninth chapter of Mark, verse 49. And every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. We have already discussed the thought that salt and fire both refer to the Holy Spirit, and this is instructing us that every one of us need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have the anointing and grace of the Holy Spirit in everything that we do in worship and service to God. We also discussed the thought that the major point of difference between the sacrifices and system of worship of the Jews and the heathen nations around them was that the heathen kindled a fire on his altar to burn his sacrifice, while on Israel's altar the fire came down from God out of heaven. And that's still the margin of difference between the true worshipers and the formal worshipers, is the Holy Spirit anointing and grace upon the true worshiper, worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. We closed last Sunday on the thought of prayer, praying in the Spirit, and how important that was, and that was the difference between saying prayers and actually praying. We prayed in the Spirit. And it's only the prayers in the Spirit that get through to God and bring the answers. And it's only the prayers in the Spirit that can be a prayer of faith, because the prayer of faith is a dictated prayer, dictated by the Spirit of the Lord. It's only then that we can be sure we're praying according to His will. And He said, if we know that we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know that we have the petition. That's the inspiration of real active faith, is when the Spirit dictates to us to pray a certain prayer or for a certain thing or in a certain way according to the will of God. Now, proceeding a little further, we want to discuss the point of singing for a little bit now. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 15th verse, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Singing in the Spirit is an important part of the worship of God, and there is no substitute for it. Maybe I shouldn't say there is no substitute. Many people substitute different things for it. But I'll say there isn't any good substitute, or any right kind of substitute, for singing with the Spirit. Singing in the Spirit is a very important part of singing. We can sing beautifully and with good harmony and with trained voices and with grand accompaniments or whatever it be, but it's all a poor substitute for singing in the Spirit. I'll sing with the Spirit. That there's a message in these songs. The songs that we sing fits the message of the Evening Light Reformation, just like the glove fits to the fingers on the hand. They belong there. Now we have a text in Peter's writing says no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now what's the sense of that text? No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now the sense of it is, if we're going to get the right understanding, proper understanding, out of the message of God's Word, we're going to have the same spirit that those men who wrote it had. And there must be a blending together of spirit and of thought to arrive at the thought that God had in mind when He had the Scriptures written. Now, God had the Scriptures written, and they were written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if I fail to have the Holy Spirit inspiring my understanding, Job said, Job 32:8, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. But if I don't have the inspiration of the Almighty on my understanding, I'll come up with some private of God's Word, and that's what's the matter now. That's the reason we have so many divisions and segments and parts in the religious world today as the private interpretation of men on the Scriptures that are lacking in Holy Ghost inspiration and anointing on their understanding. Well, now these songs are the same way. God inspired those who brought out this evening light reformation to write songs, the messages of which went right along with the message of the evening light reformation. The songs that we sing are inspired songs, inspired by the Holy Ghost, but I'll not get the real benefit out of them and the real grace that flows from them unless I am anointed with the Holy Spirit, with the same Spirit that inspired the songs when I'm singing them, see. We need to learn to sing in the Spirit. First of all, we need to learn that we all need to be filled with the Spirit. And then that our worship must be in spirit and in truth. God seek us such to worship Him. Now, the Word of God tells us in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now I wonder if we are all careful to do it this way. I was just thinking when I was sitting there in my seat a while ago, and I've thought this thought before and many times before, the need that saints should, before they come to service, on Saturday evening or Sunday morning or sometime before they come to service, take some time out to pray and get in the spirit of service and of worship to God, and let the Lord anoint our hearts and minds, and we come to the service in that anointing and in that inspiration and ready to pitch right in and participate in the service and worship of the Lord. Amen. We ought to come here with songs ringing in our hearts. And when it's time for a song to be selected, somebody have a song that's ringing in your heart and just call that and you'll find some anointing and grace in that. And as soon as that one's sung, somebody have another one, and service just moving right along. That we come here with something in our hearts. Our hearts, we come here with something in our hearts. Something to give out. Something to bless the souls of the people with. something to be a blessing to the service. Every one of us come with inspiration and anointing and grace upon our souls that we'll have something to give out, that there'll be a life-giving flow flowing out from our singing and our preaching and our praying and everything that we do, that will have a definite impression upon people that come in who are not of the saints and who don't know about us. Every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Now I wonder if we're all careful to carry this out. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Sometimes people say to me, I had a little admonition for this one or that one, and I went over to give him an admonition and say, why, he just kicked right back at me. He wouldn't take that at all. Well, if I just take that at face value, I might think that is a bad fella. He was hard to deal with. But the first thought I have in a case of that kind is, how did you approach him? I've seen folks sometimes that I don't know just how I'd take it if they'd approach me like that. I've heard folks walk right up to folks and say, looks like a child would have better sense than to do what you did. Well, I wouldn't feel very comfortable if I were approached like that, would you? A man walked right up to his own pastor one day, Sunday morning, met him in the aisle, says, looks like you'd have had better sense than to do what you did today. Well, that's not a proper approach. All the offense the brother had committed was that he took the pulpit and preached to his congregation on Sunday morning when there was a visiting minister there holding meeting, and this brother had been out inviting folks to come and hear this minister preach, and when the congregation got there, well, the pastor got up and preached. Wasn't any crime about that, was he? I feel like Sunday morning is the pastor's time with his congregation anyhow. Sometimes I just get up when I'm holding meetings somewhere. I just get up and say, this is the pastor's time with his congregation, brother. If you have a message, be free. Go right ahead. I've done that different times. Well, this brother was all perturbed, and he just many had better sense than to do what you did today. I didn't like this text says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, folks, I say that the Bible will work if we work it. It's a workable something. It's as practical as can be, if we just work it. And I say, if you've got an admonition for someone, get a lot of grace on hands. And go over there to him and warm up to him. Get over close to him, kind of get your arm around him and start singing a good spiritual song or two. Get him join in with you and sing bass. And when you get through singing, get in and pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray heaven down on you and him too. And then when you get up, you give him your admonition, and I'll guarantee you that 9 times out of 10, he'll take it. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In the 5th chapter of Ephesians, verses 18 and 19, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Folks, that's the important thing. Be filled with the Spirit. Then let the Spirit have His way in your heart and life. And it goes on in verse 19 to say, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And say, you know, that's what rejoices the heart of God, is the music of the soul. We have a song in our book. The title of it's "The Music of the Soul." And that's what God delights in. We may have trained voices and trained choirs and good harmony and fine music and glorious, wonderful accompaniments and all of that. But if there's nothing in the soul, that's just a grating noise to God. But it's the music in the soul. It may not be so melodious, and it may not be so harmonious and so beautifully sung. And people who know music and whose ears are tuned to music, they may sit there and kind of grate at it. But it's sweet music to God if it's coming out of the soul. God's blessing will be upon it. Music in the soul. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And melody. Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. I remember my mother telling about Brother E.E. Byram way back in the early day. And Brother Byram wasn't a singer. And he couldn't carry a tune and always made a discord when he tried. Was always a little off pitch some way or other. Folks told him he ought not try to sing. And he made a discord, but he says, "I'm making a joyful noise to the Lord." Well, the Lord didn't hear all that discord. He just saw the Spirit in the and the grace in his heart with which he was singing unto the Lord. I remember several years back, the saints were having camp meeting at Shawnee, Oklahoma. Had a large tent out there in the Boy Scout Park. Well, they had some wonderful singing in that camp meeting. Good spiritual singing. Folks, there's no substitute, no good substitute for good spiritual singing. Singing in the Spirit. Well, following that, sometime after that, there was a music school being taught over in the First Church of God, and several of the saints from our congregation were attending that music school. And one night during the time, they put on a general sing, and there was a man named Harris that came over there, and he was the choir director of the First Baptist Church, which was the largest church in the city and in the city in membership. And so they asked him if he'd get up and direct a couple of songs. And he did, but when he got up, he said, "First, before I sing," he said, "I would like to know if this is the people that had the camp meeting out in the Boy Scout Park last summer." Well, there were several of the saints there, and they said, "Yes, they at the camp meeting." And he said, "Well," he said, "I attended a night or two out there." And he says, I've been in the music world for 25 years, and I've been the choir director of the First Baptist Church for 15 years. And he said, I thought I'd sang every religious song there was in existence, but he said, I never knew that there were such songs in existence as I heard out there last summer at that camp meeting. Singing in the Spirit, that's what drove it in. That was the important thing, singing in the Spirit. And that impressed that man. He was a music man, high up in the music world, but that impressed him, the singing he was hearing out there. Didn't know there were any such songs. But it wasn't altogether the songs, but it was the way they were sung. Old Father Wynn at Guthrie, he was a old colored minister from way back in the early day. I think he had come out of slavery when he was a young boy. And anyway, he was filled with the Spirit, and he was a powerful man in the Lord. And there was a school teacher that had been attending the saints' meeting some there, and had been struck with the singing there, spiritual singing. So she's going to have a program at the end of school, and she asked Brother Wynn if she could borrow some of those books. Said, we're going to have a program at the end of school, and said, I'd like for my students to learn some of those beautiful songs you folks sing here and sing them at the program. Oh yeah, he said, you can have the books, all right. And so he got her some books, and she took them along, and after a while, when the program was over, she brought them back, and he said, well, said, did you learn the songs? And she said, yes. Well, he said, did you sing the songs at your program? And she said, well, yes, said, we sang them, but said somehow or other they didn't sound like they did when you folks sang them. Spiritual singing, singing in the Spirit. There's nothing like it. Nothing to compare with it. Brother Lewis Williams says there's a message in every song, and the Spirit will drive it home to the hearts of people. Singing in the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit, and we need to worship God in the Spirit. My grandfather Bowles had a gospel company in his family. He was a music teacher and a good singer and a minister. And his only son was a good singer and a good minister. And my mother was a good singer and a good minister. And she had a sister, she said, could sing alto for a whole congregation. She was a good singer and a minister. And there was another sister that was a singer but not a minister. And my grandmother was a good singer and not a minister, but a good gospel worker. And he just had a team, a gospel team, right in his own family, and they traveled that way and worked in the work of the Lord that way. Well, he told about one time they was traveling on a Saturday afternoon, and he didn't like to travel on Sunday. Liked to have service somewhere if he could on Sunday. But anyway, he said they stopped along the road and asked if they could be accommodated for over the weekend. And the folks had plenty of room. They said yes, they'd take them all in and they'd fix them all up. And so they got situated, and the man of the house came and knocked on my grandfather's door and Said, "Mr. Bowles, said we're going to have a singing down at the schoolhouse tonight." And said, "We have a fine trained choir. We pride ourselves on our choir in this community, and we're going to have a singing down there tonight. Wondered if you'd like to go." Well, my grandfather thought that'd be a chance to meet the board members of the school and see if they couldn't have service there next day. And so he said, "Yes, we'll go." Went down there, and there was a big crowd gathered for this concert. So they sang, and long toward the close, my grandfather asked if it would be permissible for he and his company to sing a song or two. Well, through courtesy, they said yes. They would like to make them free to sing a song. And they got up and opened up on one of those spiritual inspired songs and anthems from the throne. That is the songbook they were using back at that time. And they sang that, and the meeting come alive. And so when they got through with that, they asked them if they wouldn't sing another one, and they just turned a few pages and opened up on another one and sang that. And my grandfather told them when he got up to sing, he said, "Now, we're not like you folks." Said, "We don't have trained voices, and we aren't well educated in music, and we don't have the quality that you folks have, but we have some good songs." And so after the singing was dismissed, the choir director came around to my grandfather, and he said, "Mr. Bowles, I don't understand this." My grandfather said, "No, what is it you don't understand?" Well, he said, "This is just a mystery to me." Well, he said, what is such a mystery? Well, he said, "You said that your singers didn't have trained voices and didn't have the quality of singing that we had here, and they weren't as harmonious as this group." And said, "Now we pride ourselves here in our singing," and said, we have a trained choir, and their voices are well cultured, and they have a good harmony, and we're proud of them." But said, "Somehow or other," said, "tonight it seems like we just made the racket and you folks made all the music. Spiritual singing, that's what made the difference. Singing in the Spirit. And let me say it again, you and I need to see to it that when we come to meeting, we come in the Spirit. We come in the anointing and grace of the Spirit of God, with inspiration upon our hearts and minds and grace in our souls, and ready to put something into the service to make it go. Singing in the Spirit. Brother Lewis Williams had a few services by invitation at various times at the First Church of God up in Topeka, Kansas. He lived at Wichita, Kansas. So they invited him to just hold a little meeting up there, run a few services up there. Well, of course, they had their piano and accompaniments of various kinds. And the pastor up there told Brother William, said, now our folks need these to help them get along, to help them sing. Well, Brother Williams never argued that point with him, but when he went up there, he took a company of his singers up there. And so they turned the service over to him, and his singers sang. And after that, sang for a service or two and had no accompaniment, but the pastor came up to Brother Williams and said, I see you folks don't need any piano or anything. But said, our folks couldn't get along like that. But they didn't need any. They had the spirit, spiritual singing. Folks, that's an important thing in all of the worship and service of God, is divine Holy Ghost anointing and inspiration. And it will have its effect whether we're testifying, whether we're praying, whether we're preaching, or whether we're singing, or whatever we're doing. Spiritual anointing. Sacrifices salted with salt. Got some seasoning in them, some life in them, some inspiration back of them. They'll have their effect. Every one of you shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Now, I think I've about finished with that verse, but I have a message on that next verse and don't have time to go into now. Maybe I will at another time. But we trust the Lord will help us to recognize the importance of spiritual worship. And that the only line of difference between us and formal religionists is the anointing of the Spirit. And if the anointing of the Spirit is lacking, we have nothing on anyone else. And you let the anointing of the Spirit be lacking in our services, it'll be the deadest dead you ever saw. You never saw anything as dead as that. Now out there, they don't have to sing in the Spirit, but if they don't, why, the accompanying artists will come in and they'll fill up the gap. And things will go along anyway. And if someone isn't led to the Spirit to do this or that, they have a program committee that arranges all of that. So there's going to be something going on anyway. And people go there knowing what they're going to do, and they're prepared to do that. And the preacher, if he's lacking in the Spirit, why, it's going to be made up with his personality and his education and different ways and means. But now we don't have all these crutches to help us. If we're lacking in the Spirit and Holy Ghost anointing in our services, it'll just be the flattest flat you ever saw and the deadest dead that you could think of. It'll just be flat and dead. We don't have any crutches to fall back on or anything to make an entertainment with. All we have to go on is Holy Spirit anointing and inspiration and grace in the soul. And singing that way and preaching that way and praying that way, it'll make up, more than make up, for all that we're lacking in what they have out there. Amen.